Are they naked?
Nah.
Damn.
If I get naked, they're gonna leave. Well, thanks. All right. If you've heard me read before, nothing here is gonna be new. I didn't feel like putting anything like that together, and fuck it. Jimmy Buffett's made a career out of this kind of shit, so I can repeat myself again and again. But in keeping with that introduction, this is a very old poem. I wrote this for my father, for my uncles, a lot of guys that worked in the mills. This was first published in the Millhunk Herald. So if you know what the Millhunk Herald was, you're showing your age. Standing eight count. Here he comes, climbing the countless city steps, dragging his feet along the crumbling concrete, head bowed, yet proud, like a wounded warrior who refuses to be carried home on his shield. I watch him from the kitchen window, shopping bag stuffed with soiled work clothes, hair slicked back with grease and sweat, battered lunch pail underneath one arm, and from here, I can almost smell the three after-work beers on his breath. After 26 years, this homeward path has grown familiar to his aching feet, but today he bears a new burden. As he enters through the back door, my eyes meet his. Sad and heavy, I know their message without words. Another furnace down, another layoff, another knockout punch fielded by an aging champion. I went to Catholic school, which is why I don't have to doodle when people are... I tell this to my colleagues at work who have to play with Play-Doh. And I went to Catholic school. By age seven, I knew I could sit there and pay attention for fucking 2 hours. It didn't matter, okay? Even if the priest gave a sermon in Polish that I didn't understand, you sat there. So, anyway. Miracle on 14th Street. The sun cracked like a bloody egg. We watched through pinprick eyes. Sister Peter saw the Blessed Virgin. I saw everything they didn't want me to. Catholic school. I painted rocks with salamander blood. God died above my desk. Crows hopped on hardwood floors in sexless shoes. The first time I read her was in 1987. And that's where I met Dawn Wentworth, who was still living in New Jersey at the time. And it would involve a 2-day reading that was put together by a guy named Harry Calhoun, who was in Pittsburgh at the time, doing a magazine called Pig in a Poke. Harry's left us now, so is a number of other people that came. People came from a lot of places for this 2-day reading, and it involved a tank of nitrous oxide that a guy named Zen Sutherland brought up from Virginia, and it spent the night at my apartment, as did Dawn that night. And the next day, it was brought here. And it was brought in a shopping bag. The tank was this big. The shopping bag was like this big. But Zen and this other guy, I'm going to read this poem about, they hustled it in here. And I still have an audio of that, an audio recording. And if you listen closely, you could hear on that second day, you could hear like as people are reading. But the best part was the wait staff who were like looking at this and they're like, they wanted to get in on this. But they thought it was helium and they were going to talk funny. So it was really funny to see the looks on their faces once those crickets went off in their fucking head. And it was like, time to put on Dark Side of the Moon, you know? And it's like, but this was like whippets on steroids. This was big. So anyway, I met Dawn then and we've been friends since. And last year, Dawn was good enough to publish his chapbook of mine, Right Direction. So I want to read a few poems from here. And most of my poems are short. All these are short. But this is for the other guy that smuggled in the tank of nitrous oxide, Pat McKinnon. He's a poet out of Minnesota. He did a great magazine called Poetry Motel years ago. But Pat is not a gracious hot house guest. My wife Tammy still loathes him. 30 years later, she still hates the guy. Pat, yes, he did. But unlike Dawn, who was a gracious guest, Dawn did dishes, and then he wrote a poem about Tammy's pancakes and left it for us. But anyway, Pat was he was getting brain surgery, which he probably needed then in 87, about a decade back, and I heard about it, so I wrote him this poem. It's called The Same Big Poem for Pat McKinnon. Seize your portion, clocks run fast. Flesh fails, but the word proclaims. Loud and stubborn, whispered in love, an epitaph. It's all the same big poem. Here's another of those ones I always read. I met this poem. She had good dope. I bought the beer. We started in, I wrote her down. She said I had her all wrong. We hit it harder. Nothing worked. Someone had to go. A man dies anyway, but the right poem is a shadow of forever. Dogs. We're big dog lovers. Dogs. Dogs. Dogs die old and dogs die young, then sit in memory's shadow until that big gate swings and finally you're home. Broken on the wing, a bluebird flies one cage to claim another. I punch out, then feather home to drink. It's a migratory curse hollowed in the bones to bend your neck and peck before you sing. And poetry's all around us. There's found poetry. I love found poetry. And I actually saw this one time walking one of my dogs, written on a guardrail. I know this is a personal favorite of yours, Dawn, as I believe. So I've seen you comment on it. So guardrail graffiti, a found poem. Dick knows. Fuck you. I love drugs. Speaking of dick noses, I wrote this for this guy that lives on Pennsylvania Avenue in a white house. He's talking again. Mother always said an empty can makes the most noise. How vast and deep your emptiness must be. The sound of nothing so loud in your small mouth. Be offended, you who have ears. Sharpen your voices. Sing. Yeah. Tilted world. For every pair of mismatched socks, there's a blind man happy to oblige. For every sock lost in the dryer, there's a weary amputee. I walk in peace, I mean no harm. Still, the crow shits on my head. Such exquisite balance requires a tilted world. I'm going to send this poem out for my buddy John Korn, who's going to read later. And then this was a result. We stayed up late. This was a long time ago drinking. John told me the story. John, you were gone. You were somewhere. I don't know. God, you weren't home. Or you were away. I don't know. But anyway, John and I talked. And John told me this story about some guy. I always fuck the story up, so I'm not going to tell it. But shortly after I went to bed, the phone rang. And it was somebody close to me who was at the county jail and they needed bail. And I was like, fuck. And I was like, this is quite a night. So, but that has nothing to do with the poem. It was just it was a story that John told me. But anyway, it's called Sniper Clowns. Sniper clowns are in my yard. They climb trees. They're on the roof. Sniper clowns aren't here to make me happy. All right. I have books, too, but I didn't put them on a table because I don't trust any of you fuckers. You're going to take them. You know what I mean? So if you want one, come see me. I'm serious. That happened to me recently, man. I put out, like, chaps that your chap that you did for me, and that was at the Shaler Library, too. You would expect better. It was like, but I went later, and there were, like, four chaps missing, and I didn't get a fucking dime. So... Hell with you. I got them in my bag over there. They're by Lori. Keep an eye on my bag, Lori. Thank you. Anyway, we all have our literary heroes, and sometimes you fantasize. What would it be like to hang out with them? And then you realize, like, I don't know, because, you know, like, Kerouac, I love Kerouac's writing, but I don't think I want to fucking hang out with him. He was, you know, pretty obnoxious, and tight with his money. There was a lot of shit, so... But this one is about Charles Baudelaire, the French poet Charles Baudelaire. Yay! Oh, we like Charles Baudelaire. Or maybe you like the poem. Anyway. Baudelaire. Baudelaire ate opium. Baudelaire loved wine and smoked hashish. Baudelaire celebrated the company of whores. Baudelaire wrote beautiful poems, but spent his money badly. If Baudelaire was around today, I'd invite him over to the house. I'd crack him a long-necked rolling rock and offer him my pipe. I'd say, you're not such a bad guy, Charlie. I think I can see where you're pinned. I'd send the wife out shopping, then call for a pizza and an escort service. Pay for it all with my MasterCard. We'd drink and sing a debauch while the neighbors hid and prayed behind drawn curtains. After the whores had robbed us, we'd write a poem and post it on the internet. Then we'd smoke a few bowls in the backyard while shadows ate the sun. We'd listen to evening bird songs and watch for the first star. Eventually, I'd call a cab for Baudelaire. I'd hand him his chapeau and guide his drunk ass to the door. I'd pay the driver. We'd part without a word. I'd stagger up the porch steps, lock up, and count myself lucky. I mean, Baudelaire's all right, but I don't need him crashing on my sofa. All right, one more. Megan's up next, right? Is Megan up next? Is that it? All right, good. Well, this is going to be sent out to Megan Tutelo. The first time I met Megan, we read together at Coffee Buddha, and I read this. I was on this whole thing about poems written on mushrooms, and I wasn't sure if I had 2 or 2,000. But anyway, this was one of them. Megan liked this poem, so every time she's around, I read it to her. It's called The Last Mushroom. Mothmen smack the windows as our satellite dies. Let's untie the kids and go bowling.